Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Hello, all of the amazing humans and otherwise listening or watching to this podcast episode. Warm welcome to everyone who is joining us in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. And a warm welcome to all of the podcast listeners. So as you know, me and Mel have been doing a little bonus series, podcast series for you guys, The Evolution to Your Higher Self. And it is where we come together and we have these soul chats about trauma, about Ayurveda, about these deep and meaningful conversations that we were having off air. We thought we wanted to bring them on air because we got so much out of them. And we thought it'd be so lovely to share this with our wider community. So for those who may be tuning in for the very first time, if you're new in the Facebook group, welcome. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. My name is Harmony and I'm an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner and the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy, where we certify you to become Ayurveda and women's holistic health coaches. And the wonderful Mel, I will let you do your intro.
Everyone, I am a holistic trauma-informed life coach and healer, and I really help women in business to tap into and heal all their trauma so they can show up and share their magic to create to go and live their passion and their dream and their mission so they can have that lifestyle freedom, so they can be with their family, so they can live in joy. And that all starts with healing from within.
And that you do. And Mel is also our wonderful student success mentor and mindset coach in the Ayurveda Alchemist program and the founder of the Evolve methodology. And I am the founder of the Higher Self methodology, which we infuse into all of our programs. And so we're bringing our methods together when we are also curating these episodes so that we can really try to not just have those soul chats, but think of ways that we can answer these questions ourselves and help you guys along the way. So today we're going to be talking about healing from within, transforming trauma into resilience using Ayurvedic principles and trauma-informed principles. So Mel, let's kick it off with you. No, first of all, we're going to do our wins for the week. So we're going to kick off the episodes with our wins. So what's your biggest win this week, Mel?
Okay, the biggest win within the last week has really been just getting clarity on my next evolution in business and service. So, you know, I sat down with you, Harmony, as you know, last week, last Friday, and just really kind of, I knew it was there, but just owning it. So my win for the week is really stepping into that next version of myself and just owning it. So that's exciting. What about you, Harmony? What's your biggest win for the week?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm so glad that that is your biggest win and that you're stepping out and announcing it to the world. That's so exciting. That's always the first step. My biggest win was actually not dying this week in a fatal accident. So no, it sounds more dramatic than what it was, maybe not, but basically I was having a day on Wednesday, all of the things happening at once, and I was like, right, I just need to get out and take the dogs for a walk. My husband had come home as well, and he's like, yeah, I'll come with you. We're talking, and I just went to cross a busy road and looked the other way, and a car literally came flying down and nearly cleaned me up. Like literally within, if it was 1 or 2 seconds later, I would have been completely mangulated, probably dead, if not on an ICU ventilator. And my husband was like so panicked. He's like, oh my God, because he yelled out, stop. And I just stopped and the car just swooped past me. And he was like, oh my God, you nearly died. He was fully freaking out. But I think because I was already there, I was already at my max of stress for the day. I was like, oh, well, that's actually a bloody big win because I didn't die. I'm here. Woohoo. Like, celebrate. That wasn't even that stressful for me. But he saw it all happening. So he was extremely stressed out. So my win is that I'm still here and that I, managed to, by 2 seconds or less, like, escape that tragedy. So that would be my win.
That's crazy. That's a big win. And like, we are so glad to have you here, like really glad. And when you have moments like that, it really makes you put in perspective. You probably weren't at that moment, but in hindsight, when you look back and you know, puts it into perspective of how quickly things can kind of change. So yeah, we're so glad that you're here with us.
Totally. And I also think a huge lesson on how important it is to be present in like everyday moments in your life. And I had let my stress get the better of me that day. And I completely obviously was not present in that moment. I was just like up in my head and that happened. So it was a good reminder to come back into the body, come back into self and just be present with what I am doing and to not allow that stress to bubble up so tragically. And with that in mind, today we are talking about building resilience and transforming trauma into resilience and understanding the impact of challenges in our life. So to start with this, I would like to, get you to start it off, Mel. Life often presents us with significant challenges. So how do these challenges impact our overall well-being and vitality?
Yeah, that's a good one because, you know, when we go through significant challenges, especially ones that are involving trauma or huge adversities in our lives, it can have a really like profound effect on our overall well-being, you know, our mental health, our physical health. You know, they often trigger the body's stress response. They're like alarm bells going off. So stress hormones kick in, we become extra alert, like we're constantly in survival mode. And if this just keeps happening over and over again, without any breaks, you're just constant survival mode, it can really throw our physical and emotional balance out of whack. But if these challenges keep persisting or, you know, we keep playing those stories over in our head and those emotions remained unprocessed, like, you know, in our last episode, I talked about the emotional loop. If they remain unprocessed, it can really lead to physical and emotional imbalances in our body. Physically, this can manifest as health issues. So our body really communicates with us that something isn't right. You know, when we get a rash, when we get bloating, when we have insomnia, this is, you know, the alarm bells that, as I was talking about, our body is communicating that something's not right. It, like I said, it really manifests in all diseases, your sleep pattern, like I spoke about, insomnia, and even digestive problems. So emotionally, these challenges can create a storm within our minds. Like you spoke about, Harmony, you know, when you're stressed, you're not in the present moment. It's just going all all crazy in there. And it starts impacting our mental well-being, right? So often, when we're in these states, it just reinforces our limiting beliefs. It reinforces the stories that we're playing over and over in our head, that negative thought pattern. And it really makes it difficult to navigate life with clarity and confidence, especially in business. You know, we need to be on point. And when we're living in those constant stress because of traumatic events, we don't have any clarity. We don't have confidence in how we're showing up. You know, that limited version of ourselves that is in the driver's seat making those decisions. Our higher self, our heel self, isn't making those decisions. We're allowing that wounded part of ourselves to show up. That wounded part doesn't have any clarity to make any decisions, right? So it's really crucial to start recognizing the impacts. We need to start recognizing the signs, the signals that our body is telling us. So once we make a like relationship with our body, once we connect into our bodies and have that communication and know, oh, this is going on in my tummy, then something's not right. We need to cultivate a really deep connection with our mind and our body. And once we do that, then we can start the healing process. Then we can go, okay, if this is happening, like Harmony, you knew you were all stressed in the head and something major happened when you nearly got smashed by a car, then you're like, wow, I'm not in the present moment. My head was going everywhere. I should have listened. I should have implemented more grounding techniques or whatever it is. So yeah, it plays a huge role, and a lot of people don't realize the impacts of stress and trauma, how it impacts our everyday life. It's amazing.
Just wanted to also ask, because we are talking about trauma, I think it'd be really useful for our listeners if you could just share what your definition of trauma is. Yeah. Because when people hear that word trauma, some people might be going straight to a vision in their mind of a tragic car accident, or they might be going to, I don't know, some sort of trauma that they've dealt with, losing a loved one. What's your definition of trauma when we're talking about creating resilience around trauma?
Yeah, definitely. So trauma, it comes in so many forms, and I'm glad that you brought that up to clarify, Harmony, because everyone's definition of trauma is different. You know, some people have experienced huge trauma in their life, like a car accident, like sexual abuse. You know, I refer to those as those big T traumas, those really big traumatic events. When people often think of trauma, that's what they think of, right? But then we also got the little T's, the little traumas. So that might be a breakup with a loved one. That might be getting fired from a job. You know, those are kind of the little traumas. But when I say trauma, if that word does trigger some people or doesn't resonate, take that word away. It's challenges that we face in life that we go through. Difficult situations, right? So everyone has suffered some form of challenge, some form of difficult situations in their life, whether it's something so big and major or something, you know, just in everyday life, like a small loss. That all those challenges, traumas, whatever you want to call it, that we experience creates emotional reactions in our body. And those unprocessed emotional reactions in our bodies, if they're not resolved, that's when it manifests into diseases. That's when it manifests into mental health issues. So yeah, when I'm talking about trauma, it's just difficult, different challenges that we've experienced in life.
Yeah, beautiful. And I think also that our trauma or our challenges are relevant to us, as in there is no one's trauma is worse than anyone else's, because even if we perceive it to be not as big, I guess, it's still relevant to how you're feeling. It's still a trauma. It's still upsetting you and your life and creating dis-ease or discomfort within yourself. So everyone's traumas or challenges are relevant to themselves, and we don't disregard what anybody's going through, no matter how minor it may seem, because we all have different situations around those challenges as well, different supports, different things going on that can heighten the impact of those challenges.
And that's so true, Harmony. Like, you know, trauma or challenges have an effect on the nervous system, right? Everyone's nervous system is the same. It floods those chemicals in our bodies, those hormones. It goes into a freeze state. It goes to a flight state. There is no difference whether, you know, your loved one walked away or your doggy passed away. Do you know what I mean? So all emotions are equal. They're all the same. And like you said, there is no one that is worse or one that is less. The difference is, are you keeping stuck in victimhood and allowing and choosing to allow that to play out in your life? Or are you going to get empowered, heal that, and move forward and build up resilience with that? You know, so yeah, in saying they're all exactly the same, it's everyone has a choice to move forward or use it to empower and build resilience within them. But in saying that, Harmony, I'd love for you to explain to us how Ayurveda considers each individual's constitutions, that is the doshas, and by how understanding our doshas can can that guide us when we're facing life challenges?
Good question. So your doshas will definitely influence your unique way of responding to trauma and challenges. Mm. And by understanding your doshas' tendencies, you can help tailor your coping strategies effectively to that challenge that you're going through or to the trauma you've been through, past or present. So when we look at the doshas, there's the three doshas, the Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Vata's response to trauma, Vata's tend to be highly sensitive, and they may react to trauma with the anxiety, fear, and a lot of restlessness. And even I would say Vata, one of their coping mechanisms, although it's not coping, but it would be almost like running away from that trauma. It'd be like something or some challenge happens and you just want to pack your bags and go travel the world. And that's often my first response. I'm like, okay, I'm moving to Bali. I'm going. No, you want to run away from it. So that's a very Vata sort of tendency. They might have difficulty concentrating and experience physical symptoms, like you were mentioning, digestive issues and sleep disturbances. Like that's very Vata type qualities, and coping the way that they sort of cope with, or not cope, I should say, the way that trauma and challenges affect their body and their mind. And so for a Vata type person to be able to help them manage life challenges or to cope with them, they benefit from adding in a lot of those grounding practices. So really making sure that you are setting up a nice routine for yourself, you're incorporating some yoga, some breath work, some meditation, Tai Chi, whatever your thing is that really grounds you and brings you back into that present moment, brings you back into your body, and is calming for your central nervous system. Creating a structured routine and engaging in calming activities obviously helps to stabilize your mind. And the Vata dosha is made up of air and ether. So when they're out of balance, you can have a mind that's very fleeting and very jumbled and scattered. And so we really want to calm that down. I actually put a meme up on my Instagram yesterday of like this ostrich going around going, "My mind," and it's like running around crazy. I'm like, oh my God, that's such like a Vata mind. I was laughing, so I was just resonating with it, thinking about that day that I nearly got hit by a car, because that's exactly how my brain was working. Or not.
I've seen that meme. I looked at it and went, oh my God, that is like me when I'm running around with my head everywhere. That was really, I love that meme.
That's so funny, but I was like, oh, this is gold. So that's very Vata. And also being able to include some warm, nourishing food, some herbal teas can also provide a lot of comfort and stability. So they really need that stability in times of chaos. The Pitta dosha, made up of fire and water, their response to trauma is often intense, and they may react to trauma with like anger and frustration and impatience. So they are the type of people that if something bad, say they got into a car crash, like a collision with someone, instead of being like, oh, are you okay getting out of the car, to the other person, they'd be like, oh, you bloody idiot, like what's, you know, their immediate response is this reactive anger or frustration or impatience. They may experience physical symptoms like inflammation, a lot of acidity. So they might be getting like heartburn, that anxious heartburn. Their skin could break out in rashes or bumps or whatever, redness. They could look very flushed and their anger can go right up to their face. They can feel really hot-headed. So management for Pitta types would be focusing on cooling practices. So going out in the elements, if you live near a lake or an ocean or some beautiful water, like being around that water element is really beautiful, just to soothe their soul. And just spending time in nature in general. So if you don't have any water around you, getting out in as much nature as you can, being out in the elements, the cool air. So if it is a really hot, sunny day, obviously avoiding the heat and the sun, but trying to engage in some more cooling activities, a lot of mindful techniques to help with their temporary, their fiery sort of nature is really helpful as well. So even putting on, you know how you can get that cooling music, like the sound of rain or waterfalls, like things like that in the background as you're meditating to really bring yourself back into a more peaceful, calm, cool state. And then obviously the diet would also be rich in cooling foods, cucumber, mint, just to be able to soothe them through the process. So they need a little bit more, I guess you'd just be like, relax, cool down, that kind of response. And then the Kapha dosha is made up predominantly of earth element and water. The Kapha individuals are generally calm, but they may react to trauma with a lot of heaviness and sadness, lethargy, and emotional eating. They also have a tendency to be quite possessive. So they might want to like hoard things or like gain a lot of materialistic things as a way of coping with their trauma. So it's trying to like cover everything up with that. They might struggle with weight gain and respiratory issues. And we know from even like a TCM perspective, grief. So if grief is part of their trauma, it really affects the lungs, even from like an Ayurvedic perspective. So we can see that they may develop sort of like an asthmatic cough if they're prone to asthma, or just a cold or congestion in the lungs. So the management for Kapha types, they can benefit from invigorating activities like hiking or dancing, just to counteract that stagnation. So something that's fun, uplifting, gets that fire element moving, gets that passion going. Expressive art therapy can be really good for being able to process their emotions. And their diet should include light and even spicy foods to be able to uplift their spirits, because they usually have that heaviness, that depressive heaviness about them when they're going through life changes and trauma.
I love that. I love the perspective on Ayurveda and the doshas, because when, you know, and I'm sure the listeners listening here, when they're hearing you speak about all the doshas and when they're out of balance and when they're going through challenging times, they can go, oh my god, I'm more like that, or oh my god, I'm more like that. So I absolutely love it. And I noticed, I've got to share this, is another little weird, I noticed as you're talking, I've grown, because I'm half 50-50 Pitta and 50 Vata, and I got into a little car accident over the weekend. Some peepater, you know, banged me up the bum, and I had a car full of kids. Anyway, I stopped the car and it was peak hour traffic, and in the car I was like, what the fuck? I can't believe it. They stupid people. My Pitta was on fire. If anyone watched the Elemental movies, I was a little fiery chick. Anyway, I got out of the car, ready to go, and I see this poor young bloke freaking out, his body's trembling, and I went straight into like my, oh my god, are you okay, is everything okay, no it's fine, no one's hurt, like are you okay, just breathe, and you know, calming him down and being really nice to him. So you know what, I'm just like, yes, Mel, I'm growing. I completely forgot about that until you mentioned that. So my bit, you know, like you said, we're all in Ayurveda, even though we're one predominant doshas, we've got all three doshas in there. So it's really beautiful as you explain, just to see the little doshas that come out and play when I'm thinking about my personal experiences when I go through my challenging times. Mm. But in saying that, Harmony, now that you've explained how amazing Ayurveda is and the power of that and understanding your doshas, could you share with us an example from your own personal journey for when Ayurveda has really helped you overcome a significant life challenge?
Mm. Yeah, I'm just trying to think which life challenge that I...
Which one shall I pick?
Which one shall I pick? I've had a few. I guess, like we said, like life challenges can be transforming from your work environment, like going from a stable job to a career where you're your own boss. And that's, I've been through that. I've been obviously through different family traumas. I've lost a lot of friends in the past to death through car accidents and suicide and all different reasons, and that's been hugely, hugely traumatic. And I've really had to pull on my Ayurvedic knowledge and wisdom to help me through those processes. But even in the last few months, you know, life has felt challenging, and I know on the outside it can look really beautiful and blissful because we've just stepped into our new beautiful home, which I'll be holding events and retreats and stuff from. And it's absolutely amazing, and it's a dream come true. But to get here over the last few months have been super challenging. I've had obviously the building process is never streamlined and easy, although we had amazing builders, and a massive shout out to the Davies because they've been so fantastic. But you know, like even Phil and I wanting to change things and prices going up, and yeah, it's just like there's always stresses with building. And in that time, we're living in a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom unit with the 2 kids, the husband, the 2 dogs. Studying for a master's degree, I've got to fly to Melbourne all the time for exams and prac, and got plenty of group assignments going on. My husband's not around a lot, you know, in normal hours because of his work. So I'm like predominantly the sole carer. I shouldn't say the sole carer because he's fantastic with the kids when he's around. But, you know, a lot of the responsibility of our family and children lies on my shoulders. And business, and yeah, just so many things going on. I've really had to, well, first of all, I've had that moment too, Mel, where I've been like, I've grown. I feel like I've grown, because I used to get so flustered, and I used to get so, I would go pitter phase where I'd get really frustrated and angry that all this stuff's going on, and then feel resentful because, you know, why can't Phil be helping me more, even though he can't because he's at work, like that kind of stuff. And then I would get really spacey in my head and really anxious and the Vata dosha. But I feel like I felt like I maintained a lot of stability through the last few months, and I feel really proud of that. And I did that honestly just from pulling on the Ayurvedic elements that I'm aware of and having a lot more compassion for myself and even asking for help. I hated asking for help. I would never ask for help. A, because I never wanted to put people out. Like that was a big thing. I always had like this, I can do it all myself type of attitude, and I shouldn't ever ask because I don't want to put people out. And I was also doing prac for my master's in acupuncture, and it was a Tuesday evening, and the boys' soccer was Tuesday evenings, and Phil's not home, my husband's not home, so I had to ask mothers in the soccer club if they could pick up my kids from school. Their kids don't even go to their school because my kids are the only ones from their school in that team, and take them to soccer and take a bath. And it was like such a big journey for me just to ask for that help, but I knew I needed to do that and to overcome my own ego and to do that so my children wouldn't miss out, but also I guess to allow myself to receive. I was never good with that. So I think that was eye-opening because I was really learning even more about myself in the process, but understanding how much I've grown and how much I can really understand myself. But on more of a practical level, I think what helped me is a really grounding routine. And I'm a massive advocate for Dinacharya, what we say in Ayurveda, which is a beautiful grounding routine. There's so much importance in that. So I structured a daily schedule that included some breathwork practices. I always move my body in the morning because if I don't move in the morning, I feel stagnant. I'm just not myself. And it really helped to reduce my anxiety, and it just helps to create that sense of order. When you feel like there's chaos and disorder going in your life, sometimes it's really easy to get swept up in that and feel like there's too many things going on to even juggle and manage. So the last thing you want to do is have a routine. But what it actually does is it grounds that Vata dosha, but it also gives us a sense of order and a sense of control. So it's great for pitters as well. With my diet, I knew that my Vata was becoming quite imbalanced, so I was really trying to incorporate more warm, nourishing foods just to help manage the scattered thoughts I was having and counterbalance and pacify Vata's cold and erratic qualities. I'm not a huge coffee drinker anyway, but I was finding myself well, I don't drink coffee, I drink decaf, or I drink chai tea. But I was even finding myself wanting more like black tea, which has caffeine in it. And I'm like, okay, I've got to make sure that I'm supporting my nervous system in other ways and not relying on that caffeine. Doing self-care rituals, like I said, movement for me is a great self-care ritual, but Abhyanga, so doing like the oil massage in the evening. And Ayurveda really stresses the importance of balancing work and family life. So I made sure that I in my routine schedule dedicated family time and really communicated openly with my husband about the need for support and shared responsibilities, which he's absolutely fantastic with. But I feel that it's always good to communicate that when you're going through a time of challenge or stress, like be really, hey, like this is a really difficult time for me at the moment. I need you to step up. I need you to make sure that you're doing X, Y, and Z, and the children as well. Like, hey guys, like you are old enough to be doing this, this, and this to help me out. We've got to work as a team. So I think that was really helpful. Whereas, you know, in the past, I might have just like got resentful or was doing it all, but anger, like feeling angry about it and then, you know, blowing up about it. Whereas this was prioritizing that communication first, so it didn't get to that stage. And of course, incorporating some breath work into my day, whether that was 5 minutes here and there, it just helps to reestablish and resettle that central nervous system. And also applying like the principles of Ayurvedic psychology, where we're really addressing the limiting core beliefs, because in times of stress, in times of challenges and traumas, your core beliefs will come up. Like, especially as an entrepreneur, like if you are feeling doubtful about yourself, as soon as you hit challenges, those doubts will rise up and be like screaming at you, because it gives you an excuse to go with that belief and not do the things that you'd planned to do, you know? So I think really being aware of that, cultivating more awareness and understanding my core beliefs and saying, hey, it's just because I'm going through this stressful time at the moment, and talking myself around it and just showing myself a lot more appreciation and patience, which was always a big thing for me as well.
That's insane. Like, and you, like everything that you just spoke about, at the end of it, it comes back to these challenging times. Like I said before, are you using it to build resilience and change and evolve? And you've just done that. Like, you know, looking back and not losing your shit, I've known how insane your last couple of months were, but you know how well you've held it together. You know what I mean? And it's not saying we've got to be strong and hold our shit together, but it's how you responded to those challenges. And that's the resilience. And when you look back, and I truly believe that anything that life throws at us, it is shitty. And at the time, you don't understand why. And it's just so overwhelming. But when you come out of it, it's like, how are you handling yourself within the challenges? Not afterwards, but handling yourself in the challenges is where the resilience is built. It's that friction point, right? And the story that you've explained just shows that, like, everything you've learned isn't just knowledge that you have in your head, right? But it's, you've actually put it into practice to build that resilience. That's where the resilience comes, is putting into practice what you've learned and utilizing your tools. And you've come out such a, like, you've grown from that. You know what I mean? And you're going to continue growing that even when life brings other challenges, for you to just unpeel that layer even more, for you to embrace help even more. So thank you so much for sharing that. That's just absolutely amazing and inspiring.
Yeah, I think you just remind me of something that we do tell the Ayurveda Alchemist students a lot, is that there is so much information out there.
Yeah.
Like, you can gather so much information and think you know all the things about all the things, but until you actually implement that information, that's where the true wisdom comes, because that's when you're actually embodying the information. And so I think when you actually start to embody the principles of Ayurveda or whatever it is that is your path and your learning, that's when you really, really feel and notice the changes within yourself. Thank you.
So yeah, just going off that, Harmony, I just really wanted to share how the insights on how an individual can build resilience within their nervous system. So yours is just a perfect example and everything that I spoke about. So it's when we're going back and having a look at it, it's really understanding how our nervous system responds to stress or challenging situations or trauma. And this involves really recognizing that fight or flight response, you know, where your body prepares to confront a threat. It's about to run away or to face someone that smashed you up the ass or face the builder that's done something incorrectly. Do you know what I mean? And you're just wanting to escape from it. And I just want to share a quick little story. I remember seeing a psychologist years ago, and he drew a river down the stream, and he did, like, I was the head of a little village, and there was dead cows up the top, right? So the water was crap. And he goes, what would you do? And I said, I'll just go and take the dead cows away. And he goes, okay. And it comes back, and what are you going to do? I'm like, oh, I'll just pack up all the things, my whole village, and I'll go find another source of water. And he flipped on the back of it, and he wrote, and he had written before I answered it, run away from her problems. Just run, right? So it's, and then we've got the freeze response, where our body can feel really immobilized, like you talk about the kapha, the really stuckness. So these are our nervous system responses to these traumas, to these stresses. So it's really acknowledging them and then taking, okay, what do we got to do? Now that I've acknowledged it, what are we going to do? And it goes back to what you're talking about, Harmony, the dinacharya. It's the lifestyle adjustments, you know, cultivating that self-awareness. And that is when you're going to start building resilience. Everything we spoke about just then, it's using our knowledge and putting it into practice to get the wisdom, right? So what does this look like? And Harmony touched base on so many amazing different ones, and it's going to look different from each and every one, but I find the three core main ones that you need to, anyone, doesn't matter what dosha, doesn't matter what kind of person you are, to start building that resilience in you to be able to go through life challenges is grounding techniques, right? We need to really get grounded. And when I say grounded, it's staying grounded in the present moment, what you spoke about, Harmony. Right, because the future doesn't exist, the past doesn't exist, it's just here, it's just now, and being so grounded in the present moment, right, that can be putting your feet on the ground, doing some breath work, doing some meditation, mindfulness practices, just being in the present moment. The second one is self-compassion, right, so as you're going through life, as you're evolving, as you're growing, you're going to have moments of vulnerability. Life is going to happen. Shit is going to happen. But stay compassionate with how you're responding or how you're reacting or the situation going around you, right? Like, I know I have had a really crap 18 months, but I could have been really down on myself. Like, Mel, what are you doing? Get back up, suck it up, keep going. But no, I stopped and went in my magical cave and went, no, I'm having self-compassionate. I'm not discarding what I'm going through. But I was never in victim mode. You can have self-compassion and do the healing, but don't get stuck in victim mode. So have self-compassion, connect in with yourself, have those beautiful conversations with yourself and seek support. Whether it's support from, you know, a coach, a mentor, a therapist, some beautiful support group. There's so many groups out there that you can go to, you know, just seek support to able to get you through that so you can understand. Sometimes when we're going through something, it's really difficult to take a step out and see the bigger picture. But by leaning on someone and having that support and being able to talk things out, you're able to then have self-awareness. So they will be my three top things that I can share with the listeners of how can we start building resilience through adversities that we go through. And I can see you putting your hand up. So yes, Harmony, you can speak.
Secret code, Mel. It's like, well, I just really wanted to ask a question. I'm like, me, but it was meant to be a secret code between us, not...
counting you out in the world. There's no secrets here, Harmony.
I love it. I was just gonna ask about victim mode. I think it's really interesting what you mentioned, because it's right. I was, you know, by your side when you were going through all of that, and you definitely don't ever show up like victim mode. But I thought it would be really interesting to share, like, what does victim mode actually look like? Because I think sometimes people are going through trauma, life challenges, and they don't know how to be any other way. And they're not realizing they're in what, you know, quote unquote, the professionals call victim mode. So yeah. Can you speak on that a little bit more?
Yeah, definitely. And from my perspective and how my experience and how I view it is, the victim mode is when you're like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, so I'm sharing my story. I can't believe that that shit happened to me when I was young. Oh my God, my mother, you know, she used to hit me, and I've come from a poor family. And oh my God, I can't believe my ex, he cheated on me after X amount of years, and he brought a woman into our brand new built home. I can't believe this is happening to me. Poor me. Right. And you notice when you start having, and there's nothing wrong with that. And this is why we're having these conversations, is just to bring awareness. Right. So that was me. And when I look back, I don't go, oh my God, I can't believe you're stuck in victim mode. How can you just think you're the victim? Like, let's not put a stigma to it. When we're in victim mode, it's just a level of consciousness that we're at. Right. So how do we move from that level of consciousness when we're stuck in victim mode? And you notice when you're talking to your friends, you're talking about, like, you know, this has happened. I can't find a house to live in, and I can't get a job, and I can't believe these people did this, and I can't believe those people did that. So when you're finding yourself having conversations like that, you're very much in that victim mode. So how do we move from that victim mode into, you know, an empowered state to build resilience, right? So, and it is very difficult. I'm not discounting that it's very difficult, but what we need to do is pull back onto those techniques, right? So for me, it is really grounding myself. As hard as it is, I'm always having conversations with myself. So when I go into a meditative state, I really then able to step away from the situation. Doesn't matter how fucking painful I'm feeling, and the pain, and I'm crying, and the pain is real, I'm able to step out and have a look at the situation and be the observer and go, wow, I'm really suffering. I'm in a great deal of pain. Wow, I'm feeling a bit of resentment there. Wow, I'm feeling, you know, hurt. Oh, I'm starting to blame people. And then I get a mirror out. Not a physical mirror, but the question, really good quality questions. Why am I blaming these people? What is it in that situation or is that person that I'm having resentment for? Because usually it's just a mirror of something that's missing in with yourself, or a communication that, hey, you know, I need to grow here. I don't like that because of something in me. So for example, when I lost Elevate, my business, a women empowerment business that I had, I did close down because of COVID situation, but I could have gone, oh my God. And I did start going, COVID shut me down. I can't believe it. It's not fair. Weren't the government not helping us funding and all this external shit, victim mode, external, you're finding something external to blame. When I went into my little magical cave, and in my magical cave, I take time out. I say no to things. I don't show up. I don't, if anyone knows me, I won't answer to messages. That's when people know, like, oh, what's wrong now? You know, I really shut it out. And then I go internally and go, okay, why did Elevate shut down? Because it's a reflection of me. Anything happening in your external environment is a reflection of your internal environment. So why did it shut down? Why am I feeling shut down? Right. And it was because I didn't feel worthy enough to have a beautiful space. I didn't feel confident enough to show up. So I shut that version down, that successful version of myself. I shut that down. Externally, it shut down. So when you can really turn those conversations of externally, why poor me, and hold a mirror at why is this happening? Even though I'm going through pain, even though I'm suffering, even though I'm crying and things aren't fair, you can start building resilience by asking these questions. Use these traumatic events, challenging times in your life to really ask deep quality questions. When you hear professionals say, go deep, go within, this is what they're talking about. And you may not understand it, that questions may not come up, but keep that conversation open. Keep that dialogue open with yourself as you journey through, because as you come out and as you're doing that and keeping the dialogue open, you are staying in the observer position. You don't fall back in the poor me victim mode. So when you come out, you can really, and you're responding, when you're in that state, you're responding instead of reacting. You can still take empowered step when you're hurting because of the resilience you're building within yourself. So that is how you move from that victim level consciousness up to that, you know, that resilience, open, evolving, higher self-consciousness by just taking a step back and you know, really just observing and using it as a tool for growth.
I love how you explain, like, victimhood is just basically a different level of consciousness to where you need to and want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant. Love that.
And in saying that, so we're talking about resilience, Harmony. So I know that resilience is really, really crucial and vital for when confronting challenges in life, right? So from an Ayurveda lens, how does Ayurveda contribute to the development of this resilience, this resistance, and what practices can our listeners adapt to nurture it?
So from an Ayurvedic lens, resilience is closely linked to the concept of ojas, which represents vitality, inner strength, and immunity. And in Ayurveda, how we foster resilience and different like practices that our listeners can adopt is to really get to understand yourself on that deeper level. And through that, or the way that you can do that, is really starting to understand your individual constitution, so your bioconstitution, which we've been referring to as the doshas. Ayurveda teaches that imbalances in the doshas can weaken the body and mind, making it more susceptible to stress. So if that dosha is out of balance, then we can be more susceptible to stress, and that will play out in different tendencies depending on that dosha that's out of balance, as I explained at the start of the episode. But when the doshas are nice and balanced, you have this resilience, you have this inner strength, you have good immunity, good vitality, like you are stepping into that higher version, that higher self. And when you understand your constitution and take steps to maintain that balance through different diet, lifestyle, stress management, you can really enhance your physical and mental resilience. And I've actually got a free training on how you can optimize your health and understand your bioconstitution, which I'll put in the show notes. It's a 5-part mini series. The other way to be able to build more resilience, more ojas, is to strengthen what we call our agni. And when we refer to our agni, often in Ayurveda, we think about our digestive system, which is true. So having a strong digestive agni is essential for good health and resilience, but also agni of our cells, and it's our metabolic functioning and the way we process things. So even our thoughts, the way we process our thoughts, the way we process our emotions. So building a good, strong agni within us can help us process food, emotions, thoughts, all of the different things that our body or mind needs to process. Obviously, stress management is a key factor in building resilience and being able to, as you mentioned, not get so quickly into that reactive state. So being able to tonify our vagus nerve and our central nervous system helps us to not quickly react when we're in a stressful situation. Rather, we can respond because we've actually done a lot of work on toning that central nervous system. And through Ayurvedic principles like yoga, meditation, and pranayama, like pranayama is meaning breath work, is absolutely fantastic for, on a very scientific level, on being able to tonify the vagus nerve and strengthen the immune system, build more ojas, and stabilize our central nervous system. We also, in controlled pranayama practices, we can actually put ourselves into a sympathetic state, which is that sort of flight mode, the where our heart rate is coming up, we're breathing heavier, but it's in a controlled state. And then we allow our body to adapt to that controlled state and then bring it back into a parasympathetic state through controlled breath mechanisms. And so this is really helpful if we're then in a stressful situation, we get into that sympathetic flight state, but then we know how we can bring our body back into a parasympathetic state where we can be more focused, more present in that moment. So that's what breath work can be really useful for. And we actually have a breathwork certification coming up, the ISO breathwork, which is all about these Vedic breathwork techniques. Self-care rituals, they're fantastic to be able to nurture the body and the mind. And when we can really nurture ourselves, we increase that resilience, mindfulness and awareness, adapting to seasonal changes as well. Ayurveda recognizes that our bodies and minds are influenced by seasonal changes, which will actually also influence our dosha. So by adapting our routines and diets to align with the seasons, we can support our overall resilience and our immunity. We've got enzymes that our body makes according to the seasons. Like, that's how intelligent our body is. And so when we're eating seasonally, we can actually digest those foods better, and those foods go on to build up our immunity in our cells. And then looking at Ayurveda offers herbal medicine, some herbal support. So if you are going through a really, you know, challenging time, stressful time, you can have additional support through herbal medicines and adaptogens like ashwagandha and tulsi. They're known to enhance the body's ability to adapt to stress. Lifestyle balance, obviously. So having adequate rest, exercise, and a good sense of purpose. When we have that sense of purpose, we have more of that inner vitality, and we're building that resilience to life because we're waking up full of purpose, and we're really sort of stepping into that dharmic action, that right action every day. And I would finally say nurturing relationships, building and maintaining positive relationships is vital for emotional resilience. So having that support system, having beautiful positive relationships in your life. Like, you know, when I was going through tough times, I know I've got my wonderful friends, including you, Mel, who's been there to support me. Without that, things would feel, and they would be, so much harder. So Ayurveda really recognizes the importance of emotional well-being and overall health and resilience as well. So yes, I definitely think, yeah, that's all I've got to say on that. But what about you, Mel? Can you recount a moment in your life when Ayurveda played a role in helping you not just recover, but thrive after overcoming challenging situations? I know you did describe about the loss of Evolve.
Yep.
If you have any personal stories where you can share that you've had a transformative experience.
Yeah, definitely. And this is more so from a health side. So, you know, I suffered from when I was 14, 15 years old, I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. Is that how you say it? Polycystic ovarian syndrome. So those for that are not familiar, it's just a hormonal imbalance that affects the ovaries. So I had a lot of cysts all over my ovaries. I had irregular menstrual cycle. I was bleeding on my heavies for like 2-3 weeks at a time, insomnia, dizziness, acne breakout, all the things. So I was suffering from this from a very long time, and from an energetic spiritual perspective, this manifested in my body due to the trauma from my sexual abuse. So that trauma that I had suffered created a real imbalance and blockage in my sacral chakra. So that is where that PCOS manifested, and that was all the emotional stuff that was coming up. So over the years, I really embarked, and, you know, the lifestyle I implemented, you know, healthy eating and all that kind of stuff. And I did start seeing the symptoms diminish. I did start seeing, you know, my bleeds weren't that heavy. I was still having insomnia. Acne slowly cleared up, but still had it on my face. So I did start seeing and getting a little bit better, but I couldn't kick it. Like, I couldn't, it just, and I had to get scans every 3 to 4 years, and it was still there. And then I went in 2020 I went through the 6 weeks Ayurveda cleanse with Harmony. When she spoke about Ayurveda, when I first met her, I'm like, oh my God, this, like, it just resonated so deeply within me. It just hit my heart. And I went, I need to go on this. It sounds crazy, 6 weeks, but whatever, I'm just going to do whatever it takes. And during those 6 weeks, if any, for those of you that don't know, an Ayurveda cleanse helps start removing a lot of the armor, a lot of the toxins, the physical toxins and the emotional toxins. So this had such a profound effect on me. It, after this cleanse, and I really implemented and understand and learned about my unique doshas and where the imbalances were. So I implemented a lot of the nutrition side that was missing. I had found, like, when I went for a scan, there was no more cysts. They're like, who told you you had PCOS? There was no cysts on my ovaries. My acne started clearing up. I slept well for the first time. I can't even, all I can remember, because that happened, the sexual abuse happened when I was about 7 or 8. As far as I can remember, I could never sleep at night. So I'm having amazing sleeps at night. I'm getting 28-day cycles. I don't believe I have one day heavy bleeding. And that is truly profoundly because of Ayurveda. And that is why I jumped on and went, oh my God, this is such magic, this ancient wisdom. And I jumped on and, you know, through Ayurveda Alchemist, I'd done the course, I became accredited, and I continue to learn. And I love this Ayurveda Alchemist, because it's not you go in there and you get certified. We are continuously learning. The alumni are allowed to jump in, and Harmony gives us women's health staff. She gives us so much more Ayurveda wisdom, and we're continually learning. And the more I learn, things just land and I implement in my life. And I'm just seeing so much more, you know, so much more benefits physically because of Ayurveda. And it's just been absolutely amazing, like absolutely amazing.
I love that story. That's so good, Mel. I'm so happy for you. Really.
And I also, on that note, Harmony, I wanted to ask you, like, when we go through challenges, it really propels us into personal growth, or gives us an opportunity for personal growth. So I really wanted to know, how has your journey with Ayurveda really shaped your perspective on life's challenges and personal growth? I know you spoke a lot about it today, but what is that one key thing that has shifted your, or shaped your perspective on these challenges and personal growth?
Ooh, one key thing. I guess one key thing I would say, I'm going to try to amalgamate a few key things into one. But I think that Ayurveda gives us a true holistic understanding of ourselves. And often when we hear holistic health being thrown around, it's usually talking about a holistic health aspect or principle or treatment, this one sort of way of being. It's not talking about holistic health in its true entity, which is looking at an individual's constitution and being able to understand the physical body, allowing there to be you know, different sciences that come into that as well, adapting to change and our modern way of living, also being able to address our emotional health and our spiritual health and our mental health. And Ayurveda really looks at our dharmic health, our dharma and our connection to purpose and self. That is all just health. It's not like, oh, I'm a mental health expert, I'm an emotional health expert, well, whatever. It's like Ayurveda brings it all together and says we can't separate these things because they all make up who you are as a human being. So having a true understanding of holistic health, and I started off as in the allopathic Western medical system. I was a registered nurse, still am, have been for God knows how many years, 18 plus years now, probably 19 or something. And so it was very much on like the physical body, or every area in health was separated. There was mental health, or there was surgical or medical, like everything was so separate. Nothing was holism. And even as I entered the natural health world, I would see each modality sort of shining their light just on their modality, but not having a holism behind it. So when it comes to personal growth, I think you can't just grow one aspect of yourself, because becoming your higher self is alchemizing all of who you are. It is looking at your emotional, your physical, your mental, your spiritual, your dharmic health, and saying, this is all of me. And when we do personal growth, you know, we might read all the books or we might do affirmations, but that's not holistic health. So I think that's where Ayurveda really shone its light on personal development for me. And what I know a lot of the women get out of the program, even if they're not doing it to become a certified coaches, they are doing it for their own personal health, because it's got such a holistic standpoint. And it's why we bring in all of the women's health, and even from a very scientific viewpoint of, you know, looking at the hormone levels and all of that, because that's all of Ayurveda. Ayurveda had 8 branches, and one of them was surgery, you know, one of them was longevity, one of them was pediatrics. It looks at such a broad aspect, but brings it all to its core. And I don't think people really understand that. And I think it's important to know when we're looking at personal health, it's more than just one aspect of us. And also in being able to, through that transformation of personal growth, embracing change. Ayurveda acknowledges that change is inherent in life, just as the doshas can shift with the seasons and circumstances. So individuals who follow Ayurvedic principles, they learn to embrace change and to adapt to it, viewing challenges as opportunities for transformation and growth, as opposed to being like, oh, there's an obstacle, let's get all heated about it, let's get pissed off. We're like, okay, here's an obstacle, how can we transform, how can we grow through that? And then being able to recognize where our little wins have been. Like we both said in this podcast that, oh, I realize I've grown. Oh, I realize I've grown. And it might have just been in that moment, because I never planned to come on and say that. It's like, oh, another realization. That's really cool, where we've both embraced change. And sometimes that's hard. Like, you know, I live on the Gold Coast, Burleigh Heads, and it is getting so busy and they're putting trams through it. And I don't want that. I don't want that change. And it's really bloody hard for me to embrace that change. So I know it's not always easy, but I went for a run with a friend this morning and I even said to her, look, I'm looking at all the negatives about the tram. I'm thinking there's going to be more crime and all this stuff, but maybe there is some positives and I really just have to embrace the change because it's not slowing down or stopping because of my thoughts at the moment. And so I think even that was a small win, and just being able to see things from another perspective. And so I think they're sort of the key things. And also the fact that when we're looking at personal development, Ayurveda really empowers individuals to take charge of their health and well-being from that holistic standpoint. And this sense of empowerment really extends into that personal growth aspect, encouraging us to actively engage in the growth journey, even when we're facing challenges. So I think that is what I would like to say on that. And I know we could talk for an hour more. We're always like, we're going to keep these episodes nice and brief and to the point. And then we just, you know, as we do, talk for hours. So I'd like to probably wrap it up here, Mel. And I would love for you just to leave our listeners with one or two actionable steps out of this whole episode. Pluck out 2 actionable steps that they can take to incorporate Ayurvedic principles into their life when facing challenges.
Yeah, definitely. So I think there's so much, like you said, it's so holistic, but I think the key ones that you can take away is, one, creating time for stillness, mm-hmm. coming back to breath. Right, and that goes back to the grounding, staying in the present moment, okay, and getting out of your head. Allows you to get out of your head and into your, you know, present moment, into your higher self. So one is definitely stillness, breath, and 2, from an Ayurveda perspective, number 2, challenging times, would really be, I think this one has helped me a lot, and there's so many, but for me, it is really syncing with the circadian rhythm, really allowing yourself to go to bed early, getting that restful sleep, waking up as the sun rising. For me, that has been a huge game changer. And yes, they're simple, stillness, coming back to breath and sinking in with that circadian rhythm. But just for those two things have been so profound when facing challenges. Why? Because we're getting out of the past and present into the moment, becoming the observer so we can get out of victimhood, and two, syncing with that circadian rhythm so we're staying into balance. When challenges happen, we might stay up late and think about it all night and want to hide and sleep in our bed and not get out of bed. But by staying and staying with that circadian rhythm, we're staying in the flow of nature into balance. So they're probably the two key things that I can leave with our listeners to take away from the Ayurvedic principle when facing life challenges.
And that's so perfect. I'm so glad you brought up about the circadian rhythm syncing, because I have noticed, both me and my husband have noticed, so we've moved to our beautiful place. It's on the lake and it's gorgeous, and we get the most stunning sunsets, but we don't get the sunrise because the sun rises on the other side. Whereas when we're all living in the unit, the sun would rise over the ocean, and every morning we would get up energized, ready to watch the sunrise together. It was like our thing. We would watch the sunrise, have a beautiful cup of tea, and it would just feel so energizing. Whereas at the moment, we're like, it's really hard when the alarm goes off to get up because it's so dark on that side and we don't have the sun. So it is so true how much of an impact when you can sync with the sunrises and witness that and the circadian rhythm, how much it can impact your energy levels, your vitality, your mood, because I know we were getting up just like ready to go. So yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. And this has been so fun as always. And thank you so much for everyone joining in on the conversation with us. If you have any comments or questions, please join us in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. It's a Facebook group, a free community. We live stream these episodes in there, so you can post your questions underneath. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you so, so much. We will put our links in the show notes. We do have a free offering for you. Mine is a free mini series on how to optimize your health and well-being, whether you are trying to optimize it from a personal level to be able to step into your higher self, or if you are someone in the health and wellness industry who wants to be able to really optimize your clients' health and well-being as well as yourself on that journey. So I will put that link in the show notes, and Mel has her free gift for you, which is...
Yes, guys. So I've got my free mini series masterclass. So it's 3 pillars to heal trauma. So this has really my journey of how I was able to heal trauma and build resilience up was my three, you know, heal, remember and embody. So I take and explain those three different stages. And it's also got a really comprehensive workbook that it's actionable steps. And, you know, when I talked about the good quality questions, so you can go in there at your own pace, build some awareness, do the work in there. So it doesn't matter where you go on, whether I'm on Facebook or Instagram, you've got the link up there. So just click on that, and that's my free gift to you. And at the end, it's got a beautiful soul activation where it's a 20-minute, you put it on, it's a somatic embodiment practice that allows you to connect to your soul essence and just activate that. So that is my free gift to you beautiful listeners out there.
So good. And in the show notes, we'll also put links to a few of the courses that we mentioned. So we have the Ayurveda Alchemist. If you do want to learn more about Ayurveda and women's health, become a certified Ayurveda and women's holistic health coach. The breath work, if you would like to become a certified breath work facilitator. And we're also running a 3-night retreat, which we're super excited about. It's called the Sacred Retreat, where we'll be doing lots of sacred rituals, learning all about Ayurveda, women's health, just connecting. It's going to be so beautiful. And we will also put the link to that retreat because early bird offer is happening now. So be quick to get your early bird spot and come and connect with us and in all of these beautiful rituals, eating beautiful food. And yeah, we cannot wait. We've got yoga and all different things happening. So breath work, it's gonna be amazing. Anyway, guys, you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us as always. Lots of love. Namaste.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health. Or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.